Rios in the Morning on American Family Radio.
We have now broken that record. At this point, anything lower than 684 points is the biggest point drop that we've ever seen. Now, that said, Rick, I want to tell you that when you are looking at your investments and you're looking at your 401k, and even when you are a professional investor looking at the markets, the point drop is not the significant part. It's the one that we can follow. But the percentage drop on the Dow is about 6.25% right now. On the S&P, it is almost 8% lower. And the S&P is of greater concern to you than the Dow. At 8%, we are now in the range of one of the top 10 losses on a percentage basis in the history of traded markets. So this is very serious. Now, all of this is to say, Rick, that the markets are not, in fact, the story here today. The stock market can continue to make money, trade up or down. We're back in that minus 700 territory now. The issue here is credit markets are frozen. And credit markets are where the companies that you work for get their short-term money in order to meet operating expenses, including rent and, in some cases, payroll. We are now at the highest point there, 724. That was the biggest loss we've seen today. That is, we are now in historic territory. When credit markets free up, we are not able, some companies may not be able to make their payroll. They may have to shut down a shift at a plant. That means people will lose their jobs. More people will lose their homes. People will have difficulty getting loans. So honestly, Rick, from a financial perspective, this is not a day to dig in on principles. It is reflective of a fundamental lack of understanding on Congress about financial markets. And I understand that. And I understand why there would be a fundamental lack of understanding amongst Americans, because we've never had to deal with this before. We've never understood how financial markets work and how credit markets work. But this, I cannot underscore enough, Rick, how serious an issue this is.
Yes, that was September 29th, 2008, just to be clear. September 29th, 2008, a report from CNN. I remember that time very well. Actually, I remember the 15th of September of 2008. That was just a few days before my birthday. And I was with my father, who was dying. And that's when Lehman Brothers declared bankruptcy. Do you remember all that chaos? Remember all the chaos right before the election of 2008? Well, that's what's making some people wonder if this next 2 weeks, a little less than 2 weeks now, will bring some sort of crisis as well. Is it possible? Well, I can't think of anyone whose opinion I trust on this more than my next guest. It's Kevin Freeman. Kevin is the host of a new program called Economic War Room on CRTV. By the way, economicwarroom.com if you want to look for it. He's the author of so many books on economic warfare, and he joins us this morning. Good morning, Kevin.
Good morning, Sandy.
You know, you and I have discussed this before, Kevin, but I have to ask you for this new audience. The September 2008 crisis, and of course the crisis was building several months before that, where the subprime loan crisis, and just not many people will forget how serious that crisis was. Banks failing. Are you convinced at this point still, in retrospect, that that was manufactured?
Well, it was certainly due in that we had a housing bubble. We had a lot of people buying homes on credit that they didn't deserve and so forth. But there was an effort by Russia in particular in the summer of 2008 and by two sovereign wealth funds in the fall of 2008 to attack our stock market. Russia colluded to try and bring down Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac as the housing bubble was deflating. And they did that, I believe, with the intention of altering the election. So the Russians were involved in 2008 to alter the election. President Obama was swept into office, and then he promptly made an effort to cover up the research that would suggest what I just told you.
You know, I've always wondered, and you and I've talked about this too, if George Soros had any role in that, given his history and his record of trying to tank other countries' economies. Any evidence of that?
Well, we know a couple of things. One is George Soros wrote the book on how to take down governments by attacking their markets. He's the man who broke the Bank of England and so forth. Out of Malaysia, the prime minister had said that George Soros was the cause of the Malaysian currency crisis. So we know he knows about it, and we also know that he profited during the collapse in 2008. He was one of a handful of people that made money when the stock market dived.
Well, that's pretty incriminating. So now here we are. It's a different world, different time, and certainly President Trump is the object of wrath by so many on the left. I guess George Soros would be highest on the list, and probably the Russians now too, and the Chinese now. So we have less than 2 weeks to go, Kevin. Do you think that something is up someone's sleeve? Is it possible we could have another similar problem?
Well, it's not just the China and Russia, North Korea, Iran, George Soros. Bill Maher has called for, on his program on HBO, he said, I'm really hoping we have an economic crash. It would be what we'd need to bring down President Trump. The reality of it is the markets are very nervous right now, and they have good reason to be. We're coming up to what may be the most important midterm election in modern history. It determines whether or not the Congress is going to be focused on impeachment hearings like we had with Kavanaugh, only worse, on President Trump and Justice Kavanaugh, whether we're going to be worried about banning plastic straws and soda size and mandating that boys use girls' bathrooms and all of that, or we're going to be focused on protecting our borders, strong national security, growing our economy. These are the choices. This is a very national election, and so the market is nervous, and you see the back and forth that reflects that nervousness.
Let me just talk for a second about your new show and explain it a little bit, Kevin, because Kevin has joined CRTV. If you don't know what that is, that's Conservative Review TV. That is the brainchild of Mark Levin, who, by the way, I consider a good friend. And you hear Daniel Horowitz on the show all the time. Daniel works with Mark. CRTV is a great new expansion of conservative television broadcasting. Michelle Malkin. Oh, Kevin, help me brag. Who else is there?
Phil Robertson, Stephen Crowder, Steve Dace. Just a phenomenal lineup of conservative thought.
And so just to make it easy, I mean, this is because I think people want to know, how do people get CRTV? Is it on their cable? How do they do that?
CRTV is a subscription service very similar to Netflix. So if you're a Netflix couch potato, you go to Netflix.com and you watch it there, or you get the app, the Netflix app, or it can be on Roku, or it can be on Apple TV. Same thing with CRTV. But the best way to get it is to go to economicwarroom.com, because we are offering a free trial and a discount.
Okay, economicwarroom.com. And what are you doing? Oh, okay, let me ask you this. Let's go back deeper. What in the world turned your crank on economic warfare? What was the event? Because it's not just yesterday, and it wasn't just in 2008. What was it you were watching that caused you to get really concerned about the potential danger of enemies attacking our economy?
Well, it actually did start. First, I'm very involved with the conservative movement. I believe in strong national defense, free market economics, and Christian values. And so I've got good friends from the Pentagon and elsewhere. Frank Gaffney is a good friend. And I'm actually a senior fellow at the Center for Security Policy. But in 2008, when I saw the market coming down as it did, when we witnessed what is called naked short selling, which is really a fraudulent theft-type activity where people sell shares of companies they don't own just to force the selling and force the price down without borrowing the shares, which is how you're supposed to do it, or owning the shares. They just sold things they didn't have, and they got away with it. And I traced it back, and we found that it was involved with Russia and these two sovereign wealth funds in the Middle East. I said, they're not doing this simply to make money from it. It was once criminal activity. It is now morphed into a form of economic warfare.
Yeah, absolutely. And we also know, of course, Kevin, we've learned since 9/11 that that's exactly what the Islamists were trying to do, was to target our economic base, our strong economy. That was the whole point of the World Trade Center being bombed, to try to, you know, bring us to our knees economically. So it's not like a secret, and it's becoming, it potentially does have the power to bring us to our knees, because we can't fuel anything without economic prosperity. We can't support our military. We can't do anything.
America,
if our finances
does not exist without our free capital markets and the ability to raise capital and the ability to grow. We don't exist.
Another practical point. Kevin, Kevin, I've been around Kevin a lot. I've interviewed him before and been in meetings with him. He has so much to share, and we're going to talk some more, but I want to tell you that he's going to be in Michigan on Friday night and Saturday morning of this week for the American Decency Association. That's our friend Bill Johnson's organization. I've been up there speaking for them, so is Frank Gaffney and many of us. And so he's going to be there Friday night at the American Decency Association at 7 o'clock at their offices, and then Saturday morning at a church in Holland, New Life Fellowship, at 9 o'clock in the morning. And if you have an interest in that, contact Kimberly at AmericanDecency.org. That's Kimberly at AmericanDecency.org. We'll put that on our Facebook page so that you can link to it. But honestly, this is a great opportunity to meet Kevin and to hear what he has to say in a more expansive, more than 15 minutes, which is what we usually have. Kevin, I'm just curious about the Fed. Is lifting interest rates. I've never understood the Fed. We can't get into that now. I know it's too complicated. I realize they're independent. But what's that all about, that they are now boosting interest rates? Is that good or bad?
Well, under the Obama administration, interest rates were held too low too long. You can borrow money for anything. It's very cheap. And amazingly, Obama leaves office and the Federal Reserve starts raising interest rates. And so President Trump is having to deal with the headwinds. Right now, the hikes in interest rates will not destroy the economy, but they promise that they're going to continue to hike them no matter what the economy does. And that's ludicrous. That would be bad.
All right. And so and I just heard another news story that really concerned me. I didn't hear it really reported much. It was a news story that just caught my eye. That I don't know if it's Fannie Mae or Freddie Mac, but somebody is starting the subprime lending again. They're actually soliciting for people who can't afford mortgages and teaching them how to handle debt, how to do, and they'll get loans for money that they can't afford to borrow. Do you know anything about that, Kevin?
There has been an undercurrent of growth of subprime lending for the past several years. If it's really genuinely documented and you understand where the income is coming from, it can work out. The problem is lending standards get more lax as time goes on. But what we're seeing now recently is mortgage lending in particular has tightened. As interest rates have gone up, people have stepped back and said, well, I don't want to borrow money at that rate. So mortgage lending is actually down substantially.
You know, the former Fed chairman, Paul Volcker, who served, I don't know, I know he's under Obama, I don't know how far back he goes. He gave an interview just last week in which he said, I can't read this word, a blank of a mess in every direction. He says, we have a basic lack of respect for government institutions, a current Fed that seems to be following a completely arbitrary benchmark. He says, at least the military still has respect, but I don't know, how can you run a democracy when nobody believes in the leadership of the country? He expresses, of course, the view of the elites. Do you think that's the same kind of people that are still running the Fed, that have disdain for President Trump's presidency and would do something to harm that presidency?
Well, I don't think the Fed has intention of harming the presidency. I think that they're trying to make up for the fact that interest rates were too low too long. Who was Paul Volcker, was the Fed head under Reagan, actually, and he was replaced by Alan Greenspan. But his point is well taken. When if the foundations are destroyed, what do the righteous do? We're destroying the foundations. We're creating rebellion in this country, and the chief of rebellion is Satan. This is all Saul Alinsky tactics, based on his books Rules for Radicals that he dedicated to Lucifer.
Yep. Yes, we do. We often mention that because we have to. So the other concerning thing is just the debt. When we look at these tax cuts that we've been given and tax cuts that are further promised, and we look at the expansive spending that the Republican Senate and House have just given us, Kevin, is there any way, will our prosperity as a country honestly be able to get us out of debt? Is there even potentially monetarily, is it possible to get out of as much debt as we have by just prospering?
It is, if we hold spending line and cut extraneous spending. The problem is that there's no program that we don't like. Well, the government should do this. If we'd return to the constitutional mandates of what the federal government is intended to do, and we slowly starve the programs that are unconstitutional, we can be very prosperous and get completely out of debt. The question is, do we have the political will to stop the excess spending?
Well, we certainly know that if the left wins this election, this primary, the answer will be no. And I think there's a much better chance if conservatives prevail a week from this coming Tuesday. By the way, Kevin Freeman, our guest, will be in Michigan Friday night in Fremont, and then Saturday morning in Holland. And if you would like to go hear him speak, email Kimberly at AmericanDecency.org, Kimberly at AmericanDecency.org. And also, you'll want to see his new show on CRTV, EconomicWarRoom.com, EconomicWarRoom.com. Kevin Freeman, thank you so much for joining us this morning. We'll talk again soon.